Couple of things to note, just announcements this morning. Didn't get those in earlier, but adults were gathering back here this morning. We're set up in the basement for the meal that's after the service this evening. But that the world may know, we're going to do that here. So if you're coffee time, come in. And tonight at 5:30, we have Ruth Lemon with us. We're excited about that, our missionary in China. And she has three friends. I think it's three, right? Is it four? Four, okay, we'll take four. All right, good. Pastors, professors, they've been at the worship symposium at Calvin College, and they're going to be with us tonight, and we have a great time with them, and then a meal afterwards. So if you can make it, do that. Great time together to be encouraged together. And this Wednesday night, too, another meal, so the tables will stay set up. 5:30 to 7, the homemade pork barbecue and bacon cheddar biscuits. Just want to think about that for a moment. That sounds good, right? So that's a benefit for Maggie and Luke and their Philippines trip, so we're looking forward to that. But there's a few things, too, that we'll touch on in prayer a bit later. Bonnie DeKline's mother, Florence Brower, passed away early this morning. So remember Bonnie and her family in this time. And arrangements not made yet. We'll hear more about those this week, but probably Thursday, something like that. Kurt Haverdink is doing great. He's not finished recovering yet, obviously, but making great strides and so good. And he even got a date. I was there on Thursday, and they had just told him, they just wrote on the board in his room, graduation, February 8th. That's Thursday, so it was 2 weeks away from this past Thursday. And they even put 9:30 to 10 o'clock in there. It's like they're serious, all right? So they're shipping him out, but he'll need some outpatient therapy yet, so keep on praying. But significant strides made, and looking good, so keep on praying. Just so thankful for that. And Hannah got some good news, too, that same day, I believe. She went to the doctor, and her eyes, it was Wednesday, actually, had some concern about eyes being weak a little bit, especially one eye, and all that looked good, too. So don't need to see the doctor for quite a while again. So grateful for that, and so thanks be to God. Gord's beginning chemo already, and Chris Kleinstra, maybe you saw that in email as well. Chris Kleinstra, our missionary in Papua New Guinea, has a bad back right now, so let's pray for him too. So those things, all right? Thank you. Let's come to God's Word. I'm looking at Luke 11 this morning, and let's see, page 1107 or 1563. You probably got that out already, right? So we've, over these weeks, kind of backed into a series on prayer, I guess, all right? It goes week to week. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about our need to depend on God in prayer and how our prayerlessness is really like a declaration of independence from Him. Last week, we thought about the more of prayer and praying for deeper things and things that last forever, beyond the physical and the immediate. So we were encouraged that way. Today, we think about the good gift that God has for us. Before we read there, let's pray. Lord, as we come to your word, it's open before us. But would our minds and hearts be open too? Would you help us to pay attention in the right way? Help us not to lose sight of what you want to show us. Make us, Lord, teachable, soft to your purpose, eager to be changed. Would it be that we're sitting at Jesus' feet and we're hearing it from him? In spite of my frail words, Lord, do great things. Do those things by your Holy Spirit, the Spirit that you promised to give us. We pray in the name of Jesus, the name above every name. Amen. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.' Then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. Then the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children are with me in bed. That's a picture, isn't it? I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is a friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? This is the word of the Lord. I grew up, I guess, at the tail end of the catalog age here in America. Remember those big, thick catalogs? They don't exist anymore, do they? Maybe somebody saved one in their attic somewhere, but those catalogs were, it was Sears, right? Sears Roebuck, right? That was a big one. No catalog anymore. Montgomery Ward, right? For some reason they called it Monkey Ward, right? Did you call it Monkey Ward? I don't know. With that name, they went out of business. All right. JCPenney had one. Maybe there were other big catalogs too, but those catalogs were kind of the dream thing, right? Where you could look through there. That's what existed for you to buy. You could establish what you wanted by looking at through that catalog, paging through it. Today I want us to think of Jesus giving us a catalog of what we should be asking for, and this catalog especially has a page he wants us to look at, the page that shows us the Holy Spirit, because Jesus is really saying, this is what you need. This is what you need to ask for. So today, let's learn a little bit about that, all right? I've got 4 points, and if you're following along, they're brief. We're going to go quickly, so don't lose sight here, all right? Don't lose track. Number one, learn how to pray. Learn how to pray. Heard of a family who was having a big dinner. They had invited a bunch of guests over, and it was a lot of preparation, setting the table, and just everything. A lot to do. It was tiring. They sat down to pray, and the parents glanced at each other, and you know, they had that awkward moment that every pastor knows about, when who's going to pray? Since they didn't have a pastor there, that's a joke. To offer the prayer, the mother looked at the 6-year-old daughter and said, honey, would you say the prayer? Little girl, well, what do I say? The mother says, well, you just say how you hear me talk to God. Just say that. Say what I say. Okay. Little daughter bowed her head and said, Lord, why on earth did I invite all these people? We're learning prayer all the time, aren't we? Well, I hope you didn't learn to pray that way. But we should ask Jesus. That's what the text has, right? And I think we gloss over that so easily. The disciples observed Jesus, and they had observed John, apparently, too, who taught his own disciples how to pray. And they'd seen Jesus' pattern. So many times it's remarked about that Jesus spent time in prayer. And the disciples wanted to know how to do that. Now, as Jewish people, they knew how to pray. They knew about prayer. But maybe they saw something different in Jesus. I'm quite sure they did. And they wanted to know, Jesus, how do you talk to God? And so Jesus told them. He gave them a way to approach God. You and I need to keep on learning and learn from Jesus how to pray. You might have prayed for many, many years, and you might feel like you're accomplished in prayer, that great things have happened in prayer, but all of us are still novices, aren't we? Because there's so much more of God to explore. There's so much to fall in love with. There's so much to acknowledge. There's so much to delight in. We must go to that God. But if you're like me today, you probably struggle in prayer. I think that's the truth about most of us. We don't feel like we're hitting home runs. We don't even feel like we hit bunt singles most days, do we? We have difficulty getting to prayer. And then once we get there, we have difficulty staying at prayer. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about, don't you? The enemy works, of course. There's spiritual opposition to our efforts to pray. The enemy wants us to think that it's not really worth it. The enemy wants us to think that we'll never grow in it. The enemy wants us to think that maybe our prayers really aren't heard. The enemy wants us to think that we're really the only ones who struggle like we do at this. That makes our struggle even worse. We need to come again to Jesus and say, Jesus, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. It's good that we go to Jesus because he's the one that's made prayer possible. So he knows all about it. But by his coming and living, suffering, dying, rising, he's allowed us to come to the Father. He's made the invitation for us by what he's done. He's opened that way and he keeps it open. And so when we talk to God, the way is already open. We're heard because of Jesus. We want to keep coming, though, in repentance and trust. We want to keep coming remembering how great God is and how unworthy we are, but yet confident to come to that throne because God calls us and God expects us and God even waits for us. So keep on. I encourage you, keep on learning to pray. Second thing, follow a simple pattern. Follow a simple pattern. I find it interesting. Jesus gives this very simple pattern. And there aren't many words here in Luke, are there? This is not a long prayer. It's not meant to be the sole prayer that we pray, of course. I don't think it's meant to be repeated again and again and again. But it's a pattern for us. It tells us so much. And Jesus shows by example, this is the way prayer can be. A briefer version than Matthew's version. Huh? We're used to reciting. We did this morning. We recited more Matthew's version. But this short version, even these few words convey so much. It's personal, isn't it? We're coming to a Father. We're in a relationship. We're in a certain spot already. That says so much. It's a we prayer, our prayer. It's a prayer we pray together. And Jesus, again, I remind you, tells us that we're really supposed to be praying together as well as praying privately. We need each other to learn prayer, and maybe part of the reason we struggle so much is because of our resistance to pray with others. You know how to get over that? Pray with others. There's no magic to that. The Holy Spirit needs to help us with that, but we've got to grow in that. We need to grow in that. I joke about that pastor thing, and you know, whenever there's a meal, who gets asked to pray if there's the pastor isn't present. But it's good for me when somebody else prays. Huh? This morning we have some others who are going to pray too for us. I don't want to be that voice all the time. I get scared of that. We need to hear each other's voices. I need your prayers. I need to hear your prayers. I'm not the official prayer for this church, okay? We need the voices of all, and your voices are needed. So pray with each other, and yes, even pray out loud. It gets better. We can go forward. We can do that. This prayer is about God's worthiness, isn't it? That short little prayer. Right away, it goes toward him, and it's not just about asking, and that's part of our problem. We reduce prayer to simply our requests. And we wonder why we struggle in it. But this prayer acknowledges God for who he is, how much he's worth. And before we come to God and ask, before we present our request to him, praising him, confessing before him, thanking him, those are the things that change our request because they change us. They remind us of that relationship. They put us in a different spot. So it really feels different when we ask, having already praised God and confessed and thanked Him. All of that matters. This is, of course, a prayer that then comes to our own neediness too, right? We're asking for things for body and for soul, bread for the day, just for today. That's there again, right? But also forgiveness and leading. Lead us not into temptation. Powerful things. It's not a prayer that's just about me, is it? It's a prayer that's directed toward God and that understands my life under His hand, relative to Him. Jesus guides us into a prayer that is relationship, doesn't He? Third thing this morning, be bold with a good father. Be bold with a good father. We look especially at those words that follow the Lord's Prayer here. Jesus says, ask, seek, knock. He really hammers on those words, doesn't He? Ask, seek, knock. Do that, Jesus says. He tells a little story to frame that for us. A pretty common story, I guess, in that day. A friend has another friend come to visit. The friend has been traveling probably all day, and maybe especially late in the day, most of the travel is done because of that hot climate. And so they arrive, the friend arrives at midnight. They finally get there. They knock on the door, and we're here, and we need something to eat. And the friend who receives the guest says, I don't have anything, so I've got to go find something. So he's got to get out and go next door, I guess, and pound on that door. Now he knows when he goes that that door is already barred. The welcome mat is not out at that hour of the day. He knows that that family will be asleep. He knows that they're all tucked in bed and they're probably on mats on the floor if this is a simple home in that day. They're all kind of huddled together just to keep some body heat together. Probably the animals are over in the corner and it's one happy crew there snoring away. When there's the knock on the door. And who feels like getting up? Who feels like extracting himself out of all of that and trying to get over to the door and figure out what's needed and go away, right? That'd be our human reaction. But Jesus says, you know what? The person who is asleep will get up and give what's needed, not because he's a friend, but because there's a boldness there. There's a persistence there. You could even translate the word, there's a shamelessness there. The friend who's had the guest come in needs what he needs. He just knows it. He's convinced of it. He has to have something. He has to provide something. So he asks with that sort of impetus. He asks with that sort of spur, that motivation. And Jesus gives us that sort of understanding, that sort of push with the Father. He remarks, too, about what we know about fathers. He had just taught us to pray to God as our Father, but then he says, you know about fathers, right? You know what fathers do, even fathers here on earth, even human fathers. If their child asks them for a fish, they don't say, well, here's a snake, deal with it. If they ask for an egg, they don't say, well, I've got this scorpion. That'd be awful. Fathers don't do that. And then Jesus says, how much more? Your Father, your good Father in heaven, will certainly give you what you need when you ask. So ask and seek and knock. But we struggle with that, huh? You've heard this countless times. You have asked, you have sought, you have knocked. And what have you found? You found probably many times that when you asked, you didn't get what you asked for. You sought something and it didn't show up. You knocked and the door seemed to stay closed. That's the experience of most of us, isn't it? And so what do we say? We kind of say, well, you know, that seems to advertise well, and you know, the pastor needs to say that because it's in the book, but I'm not sure how that works out. We kind of get this muddle in our minds about prayer. We struggle. It doesn't quite work like it's advertised to us. But we have to understand what Jesus is saying here. He's not saying you get a blank check and you can ask anything you want and you're going to get whatever you want. He's calling us to come before a good Father, isn't he? What's a good father do? A good father knows his children, doesn't he? A good father understands his children. He knows what they need before they even ask for it. So when we ask, we have to ask for what we need, not just what we want. We've got a 2-year-old at our house. He's even more 2 than he used to be. All right. He's starting to see himself a little bit more at the center of the world. He maybe always believed that. He's a wonderful little boy, I must say, little Jack. But he wants what he wants when he wants it. He's not afraid to ask. But he can't see beyond his little world, can he? He doesn't know that he just can't go anywhere he wants. We had for a long time, we had the gate up at the top of the stairs because we don't, you know, gravity works at our house, and thought it'd not be good for him. He would hang on that gate. He would, you know, he didn't figure out how to climb over that gate, but he just didn't like being on the other side of that gate. But it was for his good, wasn't it? Huh? He's graduated with the gates out, and he bumps down the stairs. He's okay with that now. He's gotten that far. He'd love candy and ice cream all the time, I guess. We don't give him much of that. Most days he'd prefer not to nap. And he's never really terribly eager for bedtime either. But we know that those are healthy things for him. He needs that time. He wouldn't be okay if he didn't have that. I think we have to understand ourselves as little like that, coming before God and trusting that God has to help us with what we need. It needs to get sorted out. We need to understand ourselves more deeply, and we need to trust God that he does know what's good for us. And we can find out what we need to ask for and what we need to seek and what we need to knock for. But it can't be just, I want what I want, and I didn't get what I wanted, and so prayer might not work. God's far too good. You know, there are some things that God cannot do. We say all things are possible for God, but there are some things that are impossible for God. Did you know? It's impossible for God to quit loving you. It's impossible for him to do harm to you. He won't allow that. He can't do that. It's not in him. So when we come before a father, we come as little ones. Little ones asking him to sort it all out. God's goal for us is not that these bodies are going to go on with an endless existence. God's goal is not that we find any security apart from him. God's goal is not that we're going to grow up to need him less. God's goal certainly is not that we would wind up being spoiled brats. God's goal is to love us, to grow us up to be like Jesus Christ, and to get us home. We must know that the heart of the Father is so very good for us. And the proof of that already is that he sent his one and only Son for you and for me. And this Father, this good Father, is eager to keep on giving to us. And he even tells us what we should ask for. And that's the fourth point this morning, the final point. Ask for the Father's good gift, the Holy Spirit. Ask for the Father's good gift, the Holy Spirit. Matthew has this version of this story too. He says, God knows how to give good gifts, spiritual gifts for us. But here in Luke, Luke names the gift, doesn't he? It's not just good gifts, it's the gift which is the Holy Spirit. Here's the page in the catalog that God wants you to see here. He says, ask for this. This is exactly what you need. And really, it's what you've been wanting once you understand it. Prize this. Seek this. Knock for this. We might want other things, but we need the Holy Spirit more than we know. So today, ask for the good gift that is the Holy Spirit. Why is that gift so good? Because the Holy Spirit stands in for Jesus. The Holy Spirit is continuing right now the ministry of Jesus. It's as though Jesus didn't leave. And it's even better because this Holy Spirit isn't just in one spot. This Holy Spirit is all over the place, and He's even within us. God doing such good work. It's the very power and presence of God Himself. Such a very good gift. Jesus ascended to heaven so the Spirit could come and stay. What a good plan. What a great gift. Now, what does the Spirit do precisely? Well, we could go on for hours, I guess. I'll just take a couple of minutes. What makes this Holy Spirit such a good gift? Well, it's this Holy Spirit that gives us new life. The Holy Spirit births us again. We're regenerated by the Holy Spirit. This Holy Spirit comforts us, comes alongside and gives us strength. This Holy Spirit helps us recall what we've learned from Jesus. This Holy Spirit counsels us. This Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. This Holy Spirit helps us to stop sinning, to be done with it. This Holy Spirit groans in prayer for us and with us. It's this Holy Spirit that tells us that we're children of God, testifies in our own spirit who we are. We wouldn't know but for the Holy Spirit, you see. This Holy Spirit, its promise, gives us words to speak when we don't know what to say. Jesus Himself told us that. This Holy Spirit is like provided company to go with us, a Holy Spirit who is fellowship. This Holy Spirit fills us up, and we need it because we're so empty on our own. This Holy Spirit makes us holy. It's the Holy Spirit, after all. The Holy Spirit couldn't do anything but that. This Holy Spirit in that gives us fruit in our lives. We start to realize that things like love and joy and peace are welling up inside of us that we could never make or produce on our own. This Holy Spirit helps us to understand God and the things of God. This Holy Spirit gives us spiritual abilities, things that we wouldn't have otherwise. This Holy Spirit provides real growth for the church, both in depth and in numbers. You see what the Holy Spirit does? It's that. And so many more things. The Holy Spirit is such a good gift. Last week we talked about praying for more, right? Praying deeper and more eternal prayers, prayers that are the bigger picture. The Holy Spirit is all about that. The Holy Spirit helps us pray that more. The Holy Spirit does that sort of work beyond the physical, beyond the immediate. The Holy Spirit does the deep things of God. So the Holy Spirit's all about that more. And you know what? We need more of the Spirit, don't we? We need this Holy Spirit to capture us and to give us deeper passions and to show us the things of God. Each of us needs that. There's not a single one of you here today that doesn't need more of the Holy Spirit. Will you ask? Will you want it? Will you see it? And we need it together too, you know? We're not just a group of individuals that show up here a time or two each week. We're meant to be a people of God, called together, needing each other. The Spirit helps that to show. The Spirit makes that possible. The Spirit fits us together. The Spirit ties us together. The Spirit is what we need to face the future. Churches declining all around, aren't they? Here in Zealand too. What are we going to do about that? How will we think about that? We need the Holy Spirit. Whatever the Spirit might do with that, The Holy Spirit has to come. The Holy Spirit has to fill us. And we need hearts that are open to that Spirit. We need lives that are obedient to that Spirit. We need that Spirit to share the good news with others and even to want to share the good news with others. If we're not wanting that, we need the Spirit. We need more of this Holy Spirit. So today we're going to pray more again. Pray for the ministry of that Holy Spirit among us. And I want us to keep on praying. I want you to go home and pray. I want you to pray at your house. I want you to pray together with other believers. Because we need this gift. God says, that's it. That's what you need. Let's learn from Him. Let's go to Him now in prayer. Lord, we need this good gift. We need Your Holy Spirit. You've made us for that, and You're remaking us for that. It's amazing that You give in this way. It's amazing that You come and take up residence within us. But Your Spirit abounds. Your Spirit is powerful. Your Spirit has desires. Your Spirit has a plan. Your Spirit is ours. Lord, show us that we need the gift. Help us to seek it and ask it and to knock for it. Help us to long for more of the Holy Spirit, and not just for a while and not just on Sunday, but forever and ever. Lord, give us the Spirit. We need the Spirit. Please give us Your Spirit. In Jesus we ask. Amen.